Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, January 18th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we are going to finalize the 50 best movie moments of 2023. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I am joined on today's episode by Slash Film editors Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
Brad Oman.
Hey, that's me.
Editor and chief film critic Chris Evangelista.
Oh, hello.
And staff writer Ryan Scott.
Hey, hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Jacob, you have the con.
Yeah, once again, this is our end of the year or beginning of 2024 best moments of last year movie list. So this is part three of it. If you're listening to part three without parts one and two, I don't know what you're doing. Go back in time. Listen to parts one and two. You're jumping into a conversation midstream here. And once again, spoilers for all 2023 movies are on the table here. So proceed with caution. And with that said, we have 34 moments locked in. A number of moments in discussion, meaning they're not locked in, but we've talked about them and want to talk about them some more. And a few too many that have not been touched on yet. So I want to go, I want to do an extinction level event, guys. I want to run through this remaining list and start calling out the moments that I think we all know aren't going to make it. We can say goodbye to them. Don't have to worry about going through the rotation yet. If you disagree, if you think, Jacob, that moment has is a real contender, don't cut it. We'll put it in discussion, but let's get real here. Let's chop this down. All right. I'll start. So going from the top here, there's a few here that I know we'll want to talk about, so I'll skip those first. But let's get the Cobweb. Peter lets his sister out. I have not seen Cobweb. I know some people really like it, but I also know some people really don't. So who wants to say goodbye to this one? Because I don't think it's making the list, guys.
Yeah, that's fine. I put it on the list. I really like this movie a lot. I think it's pretty creepy. And you know there's going to be a twist, but like when it actually happens, it is... ultra creepy, in my opinion. So, yeah, if you haven't seen Cobweb yet, go ahead and give it a watch and just enjoy.
All right. The next one I think we can probably easily cut. A movie I like quite a bit, Evil Dead Rise, The Cheese Grater. Is it going to even be my Evil Dead moment?
I think that movie's got to be on here somewhere. I would fight to at least put this in discussion.
All right. That's all. And if any resistance, I said put it in discussion. That's what we're going to do. So that's where it's going. All right. In a list that has Mission Impossible and John Wick 4, I don't think we need Extraction 2's one or two.
No, I don't think so.
I put it on here kind of as a throwing a bone to Ryan, just guessing that he would want something like this on here. But if he's cool cutting it, I'm cool cutting
it.
Oh,
I have no. I liked the first Extraction. The second one didn't do as much for me, so I'm no worries cutting that here.
All right. The next moment I think we can cut pretty easily because I haven't seen much enthusiasm for this movie at all among Slash Film, and that is Maestro, the Thanksgiving Day Snoopy argument. BJ, okay. All right. Are we not cutting this one?
It's the only moment that I would consider from this movie. Sorry, Bradley Cooper, I know you spent 6 years learning how to conduct. That's the scene if we're going to have anything from it. But I am okay if no one else wants it. I just love that my boy Snoopy was part of, you know, an incredibly riveting scene.
Yeah, it's very well shot, well staged, well blocked, and exceptionally well acted in that moment. But I agree that it can probably go.
All right, I'm cutting it. Hey, a movie that I have not heard about since it opened. Magic Mike's Last Dance, Mike's first dance for Maxandra. Even if people like this movie, I'm not sure it makes the top 50.
No, I put this on here just because Channing Tatum like doing his thing for a very flushed and nervous Selma Hayek in the very beginning of this movie is like the highlight of the film. The rest of the film kind of goes downhill from there, but it's like a very, very sexy moment. So if you're at all in the market for that, check out Magic Mike's Last Dance. It's on Max, I'm pretty sure.
All right, it's gone. Okay, I feel bad as this movie is underseen amongst our team, but Suzume, the first set piece. I don't think this has enough support to make the list.
BJ, you and I think are probably the only people who would fight for this. It's a really great moment. Like this is the Makoto Shinkai anime movie that came out last year. And the premise is about this girl who meets this guy who like goes around Japan closing doors that get opened by like mythical forces. And the first set piece in this movie basically like gave me chills. Like I got goosebumps because of how good it is. And it's another one of those like smash cut to title sequences that I just thought was very effective. But I don't know. I'm okay letting it go unless, BJ, you want to fight for it.
The thing is, like, I feel like I'm going to fight for it to go into In Discussion and then it's not going to make it. So yeah. Part of me wants to just kill my darling right now. But it is great and I do recommend everyone see it. This is one of those movies that has the sleeper potential to sneak in one of those coveted five spots at the Academy Awards for Best Animated Feature.
I put it in discussion for now just because clearly there's some resistance here. We'll address that. Okay, I feel bad about this because Hannah is not here. Hannah, our editor, who is supposed to be on these podcasts but couldn't make it to a family obligation. This is her favorite film of the year. I love Talk to Me. I think it's scary and awesome. And as a whole, I like it. I'm not too sure either of these moments, the ending or the possession lasts too long, can squeeze into our top 50.
I wouldn't. The possession is not the one I would go for. I'm going to, unless I'm going to get a ton of resistance, I would at least like to make a pitch for the ending.
I will second you on that.
Okay.
Let's put the ending in discussion and cut the other one.
Yeah, it sounds
yeah,
good.
The only thing about the possession, yeah, we can definitely cut it, but I put that on there, or maybe I didn't, but I was thinking about it because just the way that is executed, where like you get those little flashes of one of the characters being basically trapped with like all of these writhing bodies and hands and everything, is just such a terrifying moment that really stuck with me. So
yeah, that moment stuck with me, and like that is like seriously, it like upset me. Like I saw the movie twice, and like just picturing him stuck in that. But I think if that movie's even got a shot, I think the ending is the best shot of getting it on the list. So
yeah, that's fine.
All right, we have three moments from Eli Roth's Thanksgiving, a movie I really like. Scuba's horrifying realization, the parade goes terribly wrong, and in quotation marks, there will be no leftovers. I think Thanksgiving is super fun. It's my favorite Eli Roth film by maybe a country mile. I don't think any of these moments make the list.
I don't think so either. But like, shout out to Patrick Dempsey for the line delivery of the year with "There will be no leftovers."
And the parade goes terribly wrong is the horror, like the Final Destination horror set piece of Nazi coming in the middle of a slasher movie. So good on that sequence.
The Scuba's horrifying realization thing I put on there because it's a moment of like real humanity in a movie that does not really have a lot of that. It's very heightened and kind of ridiculous all the way throughout. But it's a moment where one character realizes that his girlfriend has been like disemboweled or something in front of him. And he's like holding her body in his arms. And he's like, "What do I do? What do I do?" to another person who walks in the room. And he's like genuinely like freaking out and doesn't know how to react in that moment. And he's looking for this human connection. And I was like very struck by the fact that this movie got very real all of a sudden in the midst of all this ridiculous nonsense. So that's why I put it on there. But yeah, it can go.
All right. So let's keep on. We're making great times. So let's go ahead and cut through some remnants of this list. So we get back to our main in discussion list and knock this out. We have three Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse moments here. Miles' big escape, Miles visits Mumbatan, and Gwen and her dad. So I guess the question is, do we want to keep it to one Spider-Man moment? Do we want the spectacle of the big escape with all the spider people, the world building of Mumbatan, or the beautiful like character-driven watercolor aesthetics of Gwen and her dad? I mean, these are kind of the three cornerstones of the movie in a lot of ways, like the three things it does really well. So I'm kind of curious how you folks feel, if there's room for more than one, or if we want to pick one.
Yes, all three, please.
I think two. Yeah, I think you so can make hard an argument that two could make it. I don't. I think this is one of those movies that could justify two. I have my feeling on which one could get cut, but I don't want to get attacked yet. It's early in the day, so
you're right, Ryan. All three should be on the list.
Brad, such a good listener as always. My vote would be cut the Miles visits. Mumbatan, but I love the scene, but I think the other two are the bigger, better moments. And if it's going to get two, I think those are the two. That's my vote. I'm not saying that's how it's got to be. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree that one of them needs to be Gwen and her dad, because that is, yes. In fact, this big animated superhero movie is that visually astonishing, and a character-driven non-action scene is a testament to what this movie does well. So I'm okay moving Gwen and her dad plus one other up to in discussion and deleting the remaining one. I'm also leaning toward Miles' Big Escape because the sheer number of spider people and gags and visuals in that sequence are kind of remarkable.
Yeah, I think I agree too, but and on top of that, I think that because like the escape ties into the idea of like why this is happening anyway, because it's based around the idea of breaking canon events and making a Spider-Man story that stands out from the grain of the rest of the Spider-Man stories and not having to adhere to what people think are like the pinnacle of certain characters' comic book stories, and that like these, like, you know, superheroes can have any story and they don't have to adhere to like all the cliches that people might expect. So I think all of that considered, I think Miles' Big Escape is probably the other one that should be on the list.
Does anyone want to make a case for Miles versus Moonbatten? And this is not to say this is not a remarkable sequence, because it's gorgeous and really amazing and well constructed, but I don't think all three make in discussion.
Yeah, I think you highlighted the correct two here.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's move those two up in discussion. Say goodbye to Moonbatten. Okay, we talked about it a little bit the other day. I think we should move the Saltburn bathtub scene to in discussion. It's too big of a moment for a movie that people are still talking about.
Oh, 100%. I've seen like 5 different like merch companies put out shirts since we recorded the first episode.
Look, at the Draft House screening on opening night, they were giving out small plastic popcorn buckets in the shape of bathtubs with Saltburn logo. Oh,
those are going for like $150 on eBay right now.
I know, I have one, and I'm trying to figure out if I should sell now or wait, because they couldn't give them away. Like they were like, people were turning them down at a screening, and like now I'm like, I should have taken 6.
Why not just put it on the list instead of in discussion? Honestly, I feel like it's going to make the list.
I agree. I think this saves us time.
Yeah, I think the Saltburn bathtub scene makes the list.
Yeah,
If you've seen the movie, you know exactly what we're talking about. Okay. All right, that's locked in. Okay, let's go ahead and have the Asteroid City conversation real quick. There are two moments. The alien returns, and the director and the actress talk. I think the two sides of this movie, really. The alien returning being the whimsical Wes Anderson stop-motion goofiness that is the film's core sense of humor, and the director and the actress talk, which is the film's sort of nesting doll structure where you see people involved in the making of the play that would inspire the movie in that very...
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Is that scene supposed to be the scene where they're on the fire escape?
Fire escape.
All right, that's not the director then. That's an actor.
I'll talk about the actor.
So, yeah. If it's that, I would really like to fight for that to be on the list, because that's like one of my favorite scenes of the year, and it's like the best scene in that movie.
Yeah, my personal feeling, I liked Asteroid City more than I loved it, but this scene like kind of encapsulates, I think, what a very ambitious movie was trying to do. And I don't know that this is one of those movies that gets two. So I think if we're going to fight for one, this is the one that I think should go.
Yeah, honestly, I want Asteroid City on the list. I'm happy with either of these moments. If you guys think it's the actor and the actress on the fire escape, that's the one to go, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah, that's the scene that should stay.
All right, locked in. Deleting the alien scene, although the alien is very, very funny in Asteroid City, and I like him a lot. Okay, Ryan Scott. BlackBerry, are you the only BlackBerry fan on this podcast?
I love BlackBerry too.
Okay, thank you, Brad. Okay, so yeah, this is like I think this is the underseen movie of the year. Like it is criminally underseen. It ended up being my favorite movie of the year. So like, I can't believe it took this long to get to it. But I have no delusions. Both of these moments aren't making it, and I only put one on there. So Brad, did you put the other one? Did you put the iPhone one?
I did.
Okay. This might be you and I having to have like a sidebar to figure out which one of these moments has a shot at getting on. But Glenn Howerton in a good and just world would be getting a Best Supporting Actor nomination for what he did in this movie. And my argument was there's a scene where he's attempting to purchase a hockey team and it goes very south. And this is when everything else in the movie is kind of collapsing around him. And he just loses his mind on everyone. And like this, like incredible act of petulance. And it sort of sums up everything that's great about that movie. So that was why I threw that. I don't know, Brad, if you want to talk about the iPhone moment, but.
Yeah. Glenn Howerton is fantastic in this movie. The other thing that I wanted to highlight that I put on here, is, you know, BlackBerry is all about obviously the rise and popularity of the BlackBerry device and how it was like, it dominated the smartphone market, basically, you know, created it and was just huge. And then out of nowhere, Apple launched the iPhone, and just the sheer, you know, pride that there is from Jay Baruchel's character as the creator of like thinking that touchscreen is in the future. Why wouldn't you want a phone with buttons? You know, just the anger that he feels, and then like actually seeing the iPhone announced, and just like the scene itself when they're watching the keynote, like the air is just all is sucked out of the room, and everyone knows like that's the end of BlackBerry, because you know most of us ended up with iPhones, and there isn't even a BlackBerry around anymore. So that to me was like the pivotal scene in the movie. But yeah, I also very much respect Glenn Howerton's performance in the movie too.
Okay, so from everyone else on the panel, I would go with either of these moments if we could get one on the list. Do any of you have any feelings about this?
I had not seen BlackBerry. I miss this one. I feel terrible. It's been on my list for a while now, and
I think if you're picking one, I think it's the Glenn Howerton scene, I think. I think that's the more memorable moment.
I think so, too.
Do enough people... Look, this is Ryan's number one film of the year, and I think we all deserve grace for our number one film of the year. So it sounds to me like Glenn Howerton gets on this list. We delete iPhone, and we'll figure out how to squeeze in everything else in the remaining slots.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay with that.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
The next moment is one that I think we should lock into the top 50. I know it's getting tight up there. But that's Creed 3, the final boxing match in the empty stadium, where Michael B. Jordan goes full anime as a director and creates one of the most memorable fights in the entire Rocky Creed franchise. I mean, just this, I don't, it takes the rawness of a Creed boxing match, but makes it into this ethereal, like, manga fight scene. It is wild, and it comes out of nowhere, but also it fits the movie's heightened emotions in a way that feels like a great sports anime in live action. Am I making sense? Is this Creed 3 scene as good as I think it is?
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a moment that shows that Michael B. Jordan is like a good filmmaker. Like,
yeah, it's his coming out party as a director.
This was going to be the next one that I tried to champion. So if we can just go ahead and slot it in, then yeah. I'll save everybody some time.
Let's slot it in. The next one in our list here, I think I like it, but I don't think it makes a list. And that's the pitch meeting and dream scenario. It's a fun movie and a fun scene, but I'm looking at what's left, and I'm not sure this makes it.
Yeah. I don't think it makes
it. Cut it.
But Dream Scenario is great. Please watch Dream Scenario.
And that scene is hilarious.
Yeah, it's a really surprise, funny scene. Surprise Michael Cera, always enjoyable.
Okay, I think this one may actually get locked in the list because I know this film has a big following here. Knock at the Cabin. Oh shit, it's real. I'm a bit agnostic on this film, so I'm not going to budge either way. But I know people love this movie and love this reveal. What's the gist amongst you folks?
Oh, I love this movie. I love this movie so much.
Yeah, and I think and to me, like, this is like the pivotal moment for the movie too, because like it's the trailer sets it up as this mystery of like, wow, are these people crazy, or you know, like surely what happens, what they think is happening, can't actually be going on. And I don't even think it's like the halfway point in the movie, like it's early, it's very clear that what's happening is really happening. And all of a sudden it just changes the entire scope of the movie and like what it's shooting for and what it does. And so yeah, I'm all about this.
Sequence. I think it's also a really great thing in kind of the canon of M. Night Shyamalan as a filmmaker, where everybody's expecting the twist and he's basically like, nah, no, it's real. And I love that.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing with it. It's my favorite Shyamalan movie in like 20 years. And I think for me, it was a lot of, like, the whole way it seems real, and it seems almost impossible that it's not real the way that it's going, and then you're just expecting a twist, and then there comes a point late in the movie where there is no return, and you're like, oh my god, it is absolutely real, and this crazy thing and I think, like, just to be able to highlight Dave Bautista as one of the best performances of the year, absolutely.
All right, it sounds like this makes the top 50. We put it in there, and we'll make our piece.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing we have not discussed at all. Two scenes from No One Will Save You. The gigantic alien reveal and the flashback reveal / fighting back. I would love to see this movie make the top 50. I am cool with either moment. I would also, if enough people say, nah, it's fine, it's good, but it doesn't make the top 50, I also wouldn't dig my heels in. What's the general impression amongst the team here?
I really love this movie, and I know I'm the one who put the alien on it because it's been a while since gray man aliens have genuinely creeped me out. And this movie creeped me out.
I put the other one on because for me, that's kind of like the, again, it's a pivotal moment in the movie where we learn like the full backstory of what happened with Caitlin Dever's character. And you see, you know, the tragedy that happened with her and her friend and why she's this outcast in town. And then you have like the aliens trying to trick her into like living in this fantasy, you know, world that is just inside her head. And then she completely rejects it because she knows it's not real. And like just the use of red in the sequence and the way like it pulls back and she like comes out of the vision that's being forced upon her and everything. It's just, it's such a cool sequence.
I don't know. I'm a little cooler on this movie than you guys are. And we have, as Jacob just highlighted on our list in real time, it looks like 19 other things in discussion right now and 11 slots left on the list. So I don't know. Like, do you guys like this enough to dig your heels in over the rest of the movies that we have in discussion?
Let me say my thing with this. I loved No One Will Save You, but I think it's one of those movies where there isn't like a moment to me. Like there's no, and this list is very specifically about moments. And to me, neither of these moments and what I thought was an excellent movie rises above anything else we have to discuss and fight for. So that's where I fall on it.
Yeah. I've got some other hills I'd much rather die on. So if it's not making it, I've said my piece about liking this movie. So I'm okay.
Yeah, if we have to get rid of them, that's fine, because I there are at least 10 in discussion that I know that like I want on the list, so yeah.
All right. We all agree that No One Will Save You was really good. We all really like it.
It's fantastic.
So we're not cutting this out of spite. We're cutting this because it was just a really good year for movies. All right. That brings us only 19 moments in discussion, 11 slots left. Ben, should we cut to a break before we come back?
Yes, thanks. Let's do that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And we're back. Jacob, pick us up where we left off.
Okay, we have 39 moments locked in, 11 slots remaining, and 19 moments. So my looking at this list of what's left, there are a lot of titles for movies that already have moments on the list. Then there are some that we haven't put on the list at all. Let's have the Godzilla Minus One discussion. Was Godzilla Minus One going to be on this list? It's just a question of which moment, or both moments. And right now, I think we need to pick one to lock in for sure. And circle back the other one.
See, I just think I can't, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like live with this list if the Godzilla Attack doesn't get on there. Like, and I'm shocked that like I'm actually like, I thought this was a shoo-in. I didn't think this was going to be an argument when this started. Like, I thought that was going to be the ones we were all just going to just lock in. So now that we're having to circle back to this argument, I feel a little sick to my stomach, but because I felt like you had more support for yours. But
I'll reiterate my argument from yesterday, and you can say your piece as well, and then we'll see what the rest of the group thinks. All right, my moment is the boats assemble and the Godzilla theme kicks in. And this is because Godzilla Minus One does a lot of things that no Godzilla film has done before. And the things it does that are familiar are quite good. But this sequence, this moment, where the civilian fleet unites against Godzilla and the theme comes on, made me feel patriotic for a nation I don't live in. And it made me realize that if the Godzilla metaphor has been so effectively expanded to not be just about horrors of nuclear warfare, but about nuclear warfare, but also PTSD from World War II, about Japan and getting its act together and, you know, rebuilding itself after being firebombed and nuked. I mean, this moment is a call to action for an entire nation that's been devastated. If I was Japanese, you know, I don't know how to react to this. I imagine it would be a powerful moment for me. So as an American to feel this way, is, I know, feels remarkable, and I have a sore throat, I apologize. But yeah, the Godzilla Attack is really good and really scary, and it's a scene that is my favorite type of Godzilla thing. Godzilla is a horror figure. I do not like Godzilla, the heroic guy who saves Tokyo. I like Godzilla Stomp Tokyo. But I have seen Godzilla Stomp Tokyo 1,000 times, and I have never, ever, ever seen a scene like the other one. And that's why I think that we should consider Godzilla Attack for later, but lock in the boat attack, and that's my piece.
Okay, so my thing is this: like, if I were to pick like five moments from this movie that I thought could have made the list, yours wouldn't be in the top five for me. Like, and this is a, and I love your moment. This it's a, speaks volumes about how damn good this movie is. Like, I would say the one we cut earlier, like Godzilla chasing the boat, like that's like Jaws but Godzilla, and I think that was something we hadn't seen before. But Godzilla turned 70 this year, and Godzilla Minus One. When Godzilla attacks Japan, you're right. We've seen this before. We've never seen it like this. Godzilla is at times scary. This is the scariest Godzilla's ever been by a country mile. And when that theme kicks in during that attack, it is actual goosebumps. And I've seen it twice. And both times I got actual goosebumps. Like, this is a cinematic icon 7 decades in, executing the thing that Godzilla does and is known for doing better than it's ever happened. And that scene is visually arresting, terrifying. It's the thing that sticks in your brain. And yes, you're right. It's kind of the thing we've seen before, but never like this. And I think the boats thing, the reversal of using the theme for good, is charming and all, but I don't think it cinematically or in terms of like what we will remember this film for 20 years from now trumps that attack. That's my thing.
Ooh.
Damn, that was so many words to say. You're wrong, Ryan. Whoa.
Let's go around. BJ, do you have any opinion on these two scenes?
Boats. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Boats.
Oh, I feel sick. I'm going to lose this, aren't I?
Ben, do you have an opinion on this?
I don't. I'm neutral.
Brad, do you have an opinion on this?
I wouldn't be upset if both of them made the list.
Yes, what Brad said.
But yeah, so I don't feel passionately one way or the other because I love both of these scenes.
Chris, do you have an opinion here?
I have not seen the movie.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Why don't we start going through some of these other ones and see if we might be able to make an argument that both get on?
All right, yeah, okay. I don't want to go through rotation here. Let's have a bit of a free range here. Does anybody in this rotation have a super strong feeling about any moment in discussion section here?
I feel like, and I'm not even like that big on the movie, but I feel like the Skinamarink should be on, make the list, because Skinamarink just feels like a big, like, cultural moment for the year. It was like this little movie that was made for almost no money, and it sort of became like this like big deal, and I feel like it'd be good to have it on the list.
I agree. I mean, I made the call. I talked about this yesterday, but the phone jumps here in Skinamarink is scary as hell, and the most conventional moment in a movie that has no conventional moments, which somehow makes it even scarier because you don't, like, an hour in, you do not see this coming, and then suddenly it happens to you. I think that the phone jump scare belongs in the list.
Look, mm-hmm. I was in favor of moving that up to just locked in when it happens, so I'm okay with that. But, you know, then I think we got to start getting real about cuts. But
yeah, I think this makes the cut. I think, I didn't even really like this movie, but I think this makes the cut.
All right. We officially have 10 slots remaining. Ben, do you have any hard feelings about any of these?
You know, I kind of think that the Killers of the Flower Moon, Lily Gladstone asks Leo to listen moment should be locked in. Like that, you know, looking at the 18 things that we have remaining, there are several that I know that are going to just be easily wiped out, I think. But that one, I feel like, I don't know, it's just so good. And Scorsese had such a big year in 2023. And this movie, you know, is probably not going to win the Oscars that everybody kind of hoped that it would and all of that. So it would be cool for us to highlight another moment on this list. But I don't know. That's my thought.
I would feel weird putting a second Killers of the Flower Moon moment on the list when Godzilla Minus One and Spider-Man Spider-Verse don't have any on the list yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good point. Okay, go to somebody else.
BJ, what on this list sings to you?
So I will say we can kill the elemental scene that is up in discussion. It's probably not going to make the overall list. I just love it so very much. And it was such a sleeper hit of a movie that everyone was convinced was going to be a flop and then was not, because it had legs. And I love that. So we can get rid of it out of discussion, because I just don't think it's going to make it. But as far as something that I am passionate about that I really like it. I'm gonna really hardcore go to bat for Gwen and her dad in Spider-Verse. I just am. That scene is so unbelievably beautiful and touching. And for all of the think pieces about how people have superhero fatigue, it's like, no, that's not true. People just have a very specific type of superhero movie fatigue. And this scene proves that it's not that. It's not this. This is what people want.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to agree with BJ at this moment. We both could still make the list, but if we're going to highlight one moment from Spider-Verse, I think it should be the fact that its visual aesthetics do not get lazy during scenes where characters talk to each other. It is always beautiful. And
I just want to throw my hat in the ring and say that of the scenes, this is the one I would vote for.
I personally say both Godzilla scenes and both Spider-Man scenes make it on the list, and then we parse down the rest of the in-discussion scenes from there, because I think that half of these like are lesser than those scenes, and so I'm totally fine with those getting cut, and because it's two great scenes from two great movies, and I think yeah, both from both movies deserve to be on the list.
I'm not prepared to give any movie two slots in the final 50 just yet.
Okay, I'm leaning toward Brad here, but you know, my blockbuster bias is showing. But I think when we moved these Spider-Verse scenes up here, I don't think any of us thought Gwen and her dad wasn't going to make it. I think the conversation was, does the other one make it as well? So I think we lock this one in, and then we can circle back here in a couple minutes.
Yeah,
I also think half of these had a mixed reaction from people, whereas like all four of these scenes, like that people love, at least if they've seen the movie. Obviously,
maybe should we go from the top of in discussion then, and then just kind of work through them, because we don't have a ton left. Maybe we can just get through it that way.
Let's figure out the Spider-Verse real quick. Let's lock in Gwen and her dad. I think we should just do that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. The blackening, turning the gun the right way. You were passionate about this our last conversation, Ryan. Do you still feel this belongs in the final nine slots?
Look, I'm showing my whole ass here, but yes, like I think like comedy is a little underrepresented here. I think this was a large point that we talk about with this list is sort of representing the underrepresented and great moments and things you might have missed or things in an otherwise maybe okay movie. And no, is The Blackening going to get a Best Picture nomination? Does it deserve one? No. But does this like brilliant comedic moment like sort of embody what its place in cinema and what this movie's trying to say? I think so. And so like, you know, I would, you know, over a lot of this other stuff, I would say so, but I don't, if I'm alone there, I'll end my discussion there and just say, what a great movie, what a great moment. But if anyone else is going to back me up, I'm happy to hear it.
God, I can't believe I'm doing it. I'm with Ryan on it. I love this moment and I love what it would represent on this list. I love what it, like, because that's what this list is for, is those little moments. And oh God, it's a good one.
I guess my whole thing is if we add The Blackening, the chances of getting Godzilla's big attack in Japan goes down a lot more.
Does it though? Does it though? I don't think those things are. You're making a false equivalency here, Jacob. Jacob, you remember when I let Pope's Exorcist go? And remember when I said I was going to bring Pope's that back? No, no, no. And no, but I said, but like I said, I was going to bring that rationale up next time we started arguing.
Look, I'm pro Blackening getting on this list. Like, I think this is a movie that people really like. And and I love the idea of a little moment like this being on the list. I think this should go on the list.
All right. Oh, all right.
All right. Brad, I'd like to know if there's a moment here you feel passionate about.
It's going to be a double thing, but I'm going to make a hard push for I'm Just Ken from Barbie. That scene is a cultural touchstone. It's huge. It's just a huge scene. Ryan Gosling's amazing in it. It's a hilarious song. It's a fantastic sequence in the movie. For a movie that is called Barbie, the fact that the movie still also makes such a great use of Ken and gives him a great character arc, and this is just an incredible moment for that character. So that would be my big push from this list.
Yeah, once again, I'm torn because that would make Barbie our first film and maybe only film to have two moments in the list. So I'm trying to figure out.
It was the highest grossing film of the year.
It's true. Look,
it was also really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm Just Ken is. I've listened to that song maybe 50 times. I find it incredibly funny. I love Ryan Gosling.
On the list. You got it.
It also got its own SNL parody too. Like, not a lot of moments on this list have transcended enough to also get an SNL parody.
All right. If we put Barbie on the list, that's fine. I just want to make sure Raw Harp is okay with this being one of the movies that, one of the very few movies that get 2 months on the list.
I think it's worthy of being one of the few that gets two, but I just, I mean, there, look, I'm already looking at a few on here that I'm saying we can just get rid of right the hell now, so we might be able to expedite the argument I don't want to have here, but.
Okay, is anybody opposed to I'm Just Ken being on this list?
I would just say that if Barbie has 2 on the list, I'd really like it if Killers of the Flower Moon had 2 on the list.
Oh, see, this is where this thing gets sticky. Right,
well,
okay.
Hold on a second. I'm doing a count here. So if Barbie, I'm Just Ken makes it, then we still have 7 slots left, and that's enough room for Spider-Man, Killers of the Flower Moon, Godzilla, and Oppenheimer to all get second moments on the list. All movies that I think deserve 2 moments.
I was thinking that Oppenheimer ending could go since we got the big one from Oppenheimer. That was one of the ones I was looking at that
let's
I don't know that we need.
Let's work with the opposite angle here. Instead of trying to fill up these remaining 8 slots, let's cut some from the discussion that we know we can just remove. I feel okay about putting Super Mario Bros. Peaches in the discussion. I think that song is the best part of a not great movie. But now that we're here, we can cut it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of the 10-year-olds. It helps my case for something I feel better about. So yeah.
Yeah. All the 10-year-olds listening to Slash Home Daily are furious right now.
Okay. Jason Momoa painting corpse's toenails in Fast X.
It's gone.
I would actually think this belongs in the list. But
no. Yeah. I honestly, Jacob, I would fight for it. Too.
I would fight
if that
for
makes
two.
It, and the Godzilla moment doesn't make it, I'm quitting.
I don't remember Godzilla painting his toenails while sitting with dead bodies, so.
Okay, how about this? How about we go ahead and cut the John Wick Chapter 4 overhead tracking shot, because we have John Wick on the list. I know it's an awesome scene. Chris talked about the fiery shotgun. It's great, but is it going to make the list?
Probably not at this
Probably
point.
Probably not. No.
And similarly, since we already have Percy singing Maneater from No Hard Feelings, I doubt the Naked Beach Fight is going to make the list, because I doubt that No Hard Feelings is going to be one of the movies that has 2 represented, right?
Yeah, I love the Naked Beach Fight, but I think we need to get realistic. I think that's the case.
Yeah.
Right. Bye-bye, Naked Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, now we're getting to the point where we're just saying goodbye to stuff that we love. So, like, it's going to get hard.
All right. Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny, actual time travel. I'm glad we moved this in discussion. It's too wild to not have in this area of discussion. Looking at these last 8 slots, I don't think it makes it.
Cut it.
Yeah.
All right. Feel that, darling.
Okay. 8 slots left. 11 remaining in discussion. If we kill 3 of these guys, they all get in. Or the rest of them get in.
Oh, God.
So may I make a suggestion? We kill Suzume. We kill Talk to Me. Then we have 1 more to kill. We have a list.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I want to kill Talk to Me yet.
You can kill Suzume, Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah, Suzume can go, even though it rules.
Oh, we're all just getting to the point where, like, there's no joy coming through these microphones at all. We're all just, like, sick to our stomachs.
Okay, so we need to kill 2 more. Let's go through what's left.
Wait, for looks like, I thought we were adding I'm Just Ken. It's still down in discussion.
We haven't locked it in. We haven't fully locked it in yet.
Okay.
So we have Fast X, Jason Momoa paints corpse's toenails, the ending of Oppenheimer, I'm Just Ken from Barbie, our 2 big Godzilla minus 1 scenes, the listen scene from Killers of the Flower Moon, Monk confronts Centauri Golden about her book in American Fiction, the cheese grater in Evil Dead Rise, the ending of Talk to Me, and Miles' big escape in Spider-Man.
Can I ask? I liked Oppenheimer a lot. I think we got the big scene that needed to go. Who had the impassioned pitch about the ending here?
I mean, the ending does rule. I mean,
it's very good, but I'm saying that, like, as far as, like, when we're getting down to the wire here, is the ending of Oppenheimer, like, worth deleting some of these?
It's worth deleting Godzilla's big attack in Japan.
I don't want to talk to you anymore, Jacob.
I would argue for Oppenheimer over the American Fiction moment, for example.
Oh,
or over
son of a bitch.
I haven't even seen Fast X, but I'd say, like, I'm confident the ending of Oppenheimer is better than the scene from Fast X. I'm like, I'm 99.9%.
Chris, you might watch the scene and might reconsider.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
The cheese grater from Evil Dead Rise, like that, you know, considering the quality of the moments that we have here, I understand, Ryan, that, like, that you would like the idea of something from Evil Dead Rise making the list just for representation's sake for that movie, but, like, the drilling down on the individual moment here compared to some of these other ones, I just don't know if it makes sense for
Evil Dead Rise. We cut Evil Dead Rise, Godzilla Stays.
What?
Deal. Let's do it. Godzilla moments. Lock in both Godzilla moments, cut Evil Dead Rise. Let's fucking do it.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's fine with me. Get rid of it, Jacob.
Okay, I'll make sure we're okay with this. Okay. I'm putting in both Godzilla moments. Fuck it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Actually, Jacob, let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and finish out the remaining five. Okay, let's do it. Jacob, pick us back up.
All right, we have 7 moments left on this list. So yeah, we have 6 slots left to fill and 7 moments eligible for it. Godzilla Minus One just became the first film to have 2 moments in the list, so we broke that barrier. The question is, will it be easier to go one by one and pick 6 moments, or will it be easier to just cut one from the 7 and move to let the 6 up?
I mean, it's probably to remove one is the easier way to do it, but this is one enough children, because I would pick favorites.
Look, I'll say this. I think if we're looking at what's left, even though since we've broken the 2 barrier, I don't know that I think I'm Just Ken has to go. That's gotta be on the list. Like, I don't think this is complete without that. So then I think,
what do you have against Golden Age musicals? What?
No. Okay. So now I think we're looking at what's left.
Oh yeah, we have 6 moments left, and one of them has to go. The other 5 get in.
Jacob, I have an idea. We have a little bit of time here. We're like moving a little bit ahead of schedule. I wonder if we could go down the line for everybody and just have everyone say the moment that they would like most to be on the list and see if that helps us out any. I don't know. It might be like leading us down a bizarre path.
Let's go to rotation. Chris, which moment from these 6 would you move up?
I would probably do Killers of the Flower Moon.
All right. Next in rotation is BJ. What would you move up?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
All right, next is me. I would move up Oppenheimer's ending. Ryan, what would you move up?
American Fiction.
Brad, what would you move up?
I would move up Spider-Man.
And Ben, what would you move up?
I mean, for Fast X to make it this far, I'm going to try to push it over the finish
line. Oh, gotcha.
Smart.
All right. Well, Killers of the Flower Moon is the only one that got 2 votes, so I feel like that has to move.
Well, Talk to Me's ending got no votes there. We cut Talk to Me's ending. The other 5 move up. Our list is done.
BJ, you were the other one who was big on Talk to Me. How do you feel about that? Because I think that ending was like one of the most satisfying endings for me in a very long time in a movie. So
that ending does kick ass, but oh god, I have to have Lily Gladstone up there. I wrote an entire piece about why she's too good for the Oscars. I can't not give her a moment where she's being silent and still and controlled. I have to have her.
I also think the rest of these moments, with the exception of the Fast X one, pack a particular like punch for each movie, and the Fast X moment is just, it's one of those moments that is just so ludicrous and insane and wild that like it's the exact kind of moment that belongs on this list.
Yeah, I give a hard support to Jason Momoa painting Corpse's toenails, because in a movie that I like Fast X, but so much that movie is the typical big bombast CGI car spectacular. The fact that we're not talking about that, we're talking about the scene where Jason Momoa's Joker-inspired madman hangs out and talks to a bunch of dead people while doing their nails. That's what I want out of Fast and Furious these days.
Okay, so it sounds like Talk to Me's ending is going, right?
I think so.
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
Dang, RIP.
Talk to Me's real good, though. It's really good. So, see that movie. Oh, okay, I'm merging the last of our...
Okay, I think we've done it, guys.
We need to do what we do every year, which is just run down the list and have each of us read a chunk of it so people know what made the list finally. Chris, can you read the 10 in no particular, the first 10 in no particular order? Like, no, they're not ranked, I mean, but read them as they came in.
So number 1, Theater Camp, The Final Song. Number 2, Nimona, I See You, Nimona. Number three, The Iron Claw, Carrie meets his brothers in the afterlife. Number four, Air, Sonny Vaccaro's pitch monologue to Michael Jordan. Number five, Past Lives, the ending. Number six, The Zone of Interest, the ending. Number seven, Bottoms, fighting the football team. Number eight, When Evil Lurks, the dog attack. Number nine, Down Low, the dance scene. And number 10, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, the bard spell breaks.
BJ, can you read 11 through 20?
11, Eileen, the twist is revealed. 12, Oppenheimer, the Trinity test. 13, Barbie, what was I made for? 14, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, the no diggity montage. 15, Killers of the Flower Moon, the radio show ending. 16, Anatomy of a Fall, the flashback argument. 17, The Pope's Exorcist, Russell Crowe on the scooter. 18, May December, Joe smokes with his son on the roof. John Wick Chapter 4, The Stairs Fight is at 19. And number 20, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Ryan, can you read 21 through 30?
Indeed I can. Number 21, we have No Hard Feelings, Percy Sings Maneater. At 22, we have Chevalier, The Opening Violin Battle. At 23, we have Napoleon, Cannonballs Through the Ice. At 24, we have Megan with the dance attack. 25, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Lucy Gray sings at the reaping. Number 26, How to Blow Up a Pipeline. They blow up a pipeline. Number 27, Poor Things. Bella and Duncan hit the dance floor. Number 28, All of Us Strangers, the diner scene. Number 28, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Climbing Through the Train. And at number 30, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Mom Cries About Her Parents.
Brad, can you 31 through 40?
Number 31, The Boy and the Heron, The World Collapses. Number 32, Ferrari, The Fatal Car Crash. Number 33, The Holdovers, The City Montage. Number 34, The Killer, The Botched Assassination. Number 35, Saltburn, The Bathtub Scene. Number 36, Asteroid City, The Actor and the Actress Talk. Number 37, Blackberry, Glenn Howerton Loses His Shit. Number 38, Creed 3, The Final Boxing Match in the Empty Stadium. Number 39, Knock at the Cabin, Oh Shit, It's Real. Number 40, Skinamarink, The Phone Jump Scare.
And Benny, you take us home?
Sure. Number 41, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Gwen and Her Dad. Number 42, The Blackening, Turning the Gun the Right Way. Number 43, Godzilla Minus One, Godzilla's Big Attack on Japan. Number 44, Godzilla Minus One, The Boats Assemble and the Godzilla Theme Kicks In. Number 45, Barbie, I'm Just Ken. Number 46, Fast X, Jason Momoa Paints a Corpse's Toenails. Number 47, Oppenheimer, The Ending. 48, Killers of the Flower Moon, Lily Gladstone Asks Leo to Listen. Number 49, American Fiction, Monk Confronts Centara Golden About Her Book. And number 50, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Miles' Big Escape.
Hell of a list. I don't miss anything now that I see the whole thing assembled.
We did it.
We did it.
Folks, this is my favorite podcast of the year every year. It's so much fun to argue about this with you. And looking over this list of moments, like, what a great year 2023 was. Like, what a variety this list has.
I love it.
Yeah, we made it through and we're all still friends, kind of.
I definitely think I have stress breakouts now, but that's fine.
It's not too late to cut Godzilla Minus One, a big attack of the dance scene. No, it's good. The fact that Godzilla Minus One's on this list twice is great because that movie is as good as movies get.
Deserves it.
Yeah, this is great, guys. Folks, I'm tired. You're tired. And I really hope people enjoyed this because these lists are always a lot of work. But yeah, if you enjoy these lists, if you enjoy hearing this every year, you know, write us a little email. Let us know if you like listening to these episodes as much as, you know, we like making them.
Yes, for sure. All right. I think that's going to do it for this year's big best movie moments list. And that'll do it for the end of today's episode. You can find more about all of the movies that we mentioned on today's show at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe to our newsletter. There's a link for that in the show notes. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailback topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a moment to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.